Welcome to Follow the Bible Ministries with Bible teacher David Hoff. Today's Bible study is designed to encourage you to read and follow the Bible, the Holy Word of God. Scripture verses will be examined to help you understand, trust, and apply God's Word to your life and the lives of others. Now here's David Hoff.
Hello and welcome to the Bible study. We're studying the book of Mark, and this is study number 158 in that series. We're in Mark chapter 15, and we're learning about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have said many times in this series, it is in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ that the payment for sins was made. That is where the Lord Jesus Christ made payment for the sins of all those that would ever come to trust in Him. It was back then in 33 AD, when He hung on the cross, that He suffered the horrible wrath of God necessary to make payment for the sins of all those who had ever come to believe in Him, so that they could be rescued from hell and given the inheritance of heaven. And we've been studying in Mark 15, and last time we were looking at the account of the soldiers. There were four soldiers, and we were looking at the account of them taking the garments of the Lord Jesus, stripping Him naked, and what they did with His garments. Now, it turns out in John chapter 19, God gives us more information, more details about that account. In our last study, we were looking at John 19, verses 23 and 24, which covers the account of these four soldiers and what they did with the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read there, starting in verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also His coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted My raiment among them, and for My vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did.'" First, let's comment about the scripture that's quoted here. We read there, "that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted My raiment among them, and for My vesture they did cast lots." And that is a quotation of Psalm chapter 22 and verse 18, which we looked at last time, where we read, "They part My garments among them and cast lots upon My vesture." It's interesting that John chapter 19 verse 24 closes with, "These things therefore the soldiers did." That is, the soldiers did these things as a fulfillment of Scripture, which means basically that God guided the events that happened there to fulfill the Scriptures that God had given, reminding us that God is in charge of all things. Now, what we just read is a true historical account that Jesus had some garments, and the soldiers took those and parted them into four parts, to each soldier a part. But then He also had a coat, and the coat was without seam. It was a special coat. And they said, "Let us not rend it, let us not tear it. It's a special coat, it's a very nice coat." And they drew lots for that coat, and one of the soldiers got the coat. This is the historical situation which actually occurred. However, I'd like to focus on the gospel teaching that God is giving us through this event. God guided this event. God guided the thinking, the actions of these soldiers. God guided all of the circumstances so that this would happen this way to fulfill Scripture, but also so that God would teach us gospel truth. And God guided the Apostle John to give us this extra detail so that we could learn this gospel truth. And we were looking at this in our last study and pretty much covered the first action the soldiers did. We were looking at their first action. There was two main actions. One is they took His garments and parted them into four parts. And then the second was there was a coat that had no seam in it, and then they drew lots for that. And the first part we pretty much covered. It says, "When they crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts to every soldier a part." And in the last study, we looked at the gospel understanding of the idea of garment or garments. And we looked at a verse that I've quoted in previous studies, and that is Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, where we read, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And in this verse, God talks about garments of salvation, or the robe of righteousness. And we must remember that God is speaking in parables throughout the whole Bible, and in this verse, there is not an earthly garment of salvation. Rather, Christ's salvation is like a garment that covers our nakedness. And again, it's not earthly nakedness that needs to be covered. Rather, it is the nakedness of our sins in the sight of a holy God. And we also looked at Hebrews 4 last time, where we read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 through 14, "For the word of God is quick," that's the old English word for living, "for the word of God is quick," or living, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." There are many wonderful gospel truths in what we just read in Hebrews 4, 12 through 14. But the point I wanted to make here is the fact that God says that our whole being is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God sees everything about us. God knows the thoughts of our heart. God knows the intents or what comes before the thoughts. God knows everything about us, and God sees all of our sin. And that's why God adds verse 14 that we have to have that great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to get derailed talking about that, but it's such a beautiful verse because the Lord Jesus Christ came as the great high priest. He's eternally been the great high priest, and he came as the great high priest and offered the sacrifice for sins in 33 AD. That is, he offered himself so that he could have a solution, so that he could rescue us from hell and give us the new heavens and the new earth. And this is one of the beautiful truths that comes out in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 through 14. But in this study, I wanted to emphasize the fact that this passage indicates that we are naked in the sight of a holy God. He sees our sins, and that is why we need the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. Again, God is speaking in parables. There's not an earthly garment or an earthly robe. Rather, it is God's salvation program that is figuratively like a garment that covers our nakedness. In other words, we are naked in our sins before a holy God. We are in trouble with God because he will judge us on the last day for our sins and cast us into hell. However, when Christ becomes our Savior, it is symbolically like he has covered that nakedness. He has paid for all of our sins. That is one way to look at it, and that is definitely the big focus, the truth of the Bible, that he's paid for our sins. Another way to look at it is that our exposure, our nakedness before the law is covered by Christ so that we are no longer naked in the sight of God. We have a covering for our sins. We have a robe of righteousness that covers our sins and makes us righteous and acceptable before God. So we want to take these ideas of being naked in our sins before God and God's garments of salvation, or God's covering for our nakedness, back into this account in John 19 and verse 23 to understand the gospel teaching. And that is, they took the garments from Jesus. Now think of those garments as representing the garments of salvation of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. So when they took the garments from Jesus, what happened? Well, he became naked. He became naked on the cross. And that fits with Hebrews chapter 4. Because Jesus was naked, he was naked in an earthly sense, but more importantly, he was naked with the sins of his people in the sight of God. Now, Jesus is perfect and without any sin. However, Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that the sins of the believers were laden upon the Lord Jesus. Our sins, if we're believers, Our sins were put upon the Lord Jesus, and He became sinful with our sins. He was laden with our sins, our iniquity. So when He was on the cross, those sins, our sins, were exposed before the judgment throne of God. And Jesus became guilty of those sins, and He had to make the payment for those sins on the cross. He was naked in the sight of a holy God with the sins of His people. And to teach that truth, God indicates that He became naked, that His body became naked. His clothes were taken off by the soldiers. He was naked on the cross, representing the fact that He was naked with the sins of His people on the cross. However, those garments were taken from the Lord Jesus and given to the soldiers. They were parted so that each soldier had a part. Now, if we think about those soldiers representing the totality or universality of all of the believers, then we see a beautiful gospel picture. Jesus' garments, His garments of salvation, symbolically, were taken from Him so that He was naked with our sins in the sight of God, and they were taken from Him and given to all the believers, symbolically. And the believers are represented by those four soldiers. And they were parted so that each soldier had a part. Each soldier had a part of the garments of the Lord Jesus. And that symbolically points to all the believers are partakers of His garments of salvation, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Each soldier got a part. All the believers have received a part of the garments of salvation given by the Lord Jesus through His payment on the cross. In the Bible, the number four sometimes represents universality or something that's universal, like the four directions on the compass, north, south, east, west, like covers everywhere. And this is the idea of four from time to time in the Bible. So those four soldiers could represent the totality or universality of all believers, and they all received a part of Jesus' garments. That is, all the believers throughout time have been covered by those garments of salvation. They have received a part, symbolically, of the garments of Jesus to cover their sins. And I believe that is the gospel teaching of the first part of this account, where we read, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts to every soldier a part." Jesus became naked, exposed with the believer's sins, and He had to pay for those. And in return, the believers, all of the believers, the universality of all the believers throughout time, as represented by those four soldiers, received the garments of salvation from Jesus through His payment for sins. Now we want to think about the second action that these soldiers took, where we read, "And also His coat, now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." And we want to think about the additional gospel truth from the second action that they took, that they took His coat and they drew lots for it, and one of the soldiers got the coat. And this is basically teaching the same truth as the previous part. In other words, the coat represents the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness, the covering for sins that was given out. And so it's basically teaching the same truth that Jesus became naked for the sins of His people. His garments were taken away, or His coat was taken away, and it was given to the believers. However, there are some differences in this second account than the first account. And so the overall teaching is the same about the garments of salvation that Jesus has provided through His payment for sins, but there are some differences. One difference, for example, is that only one soldier received the coat instead of all of them, and the coat was not torn and divided, it was given to one of them. And the second truth is that the soldier received it by lot. The soldier, they drew lots, and the soldier that got the lot received the coat. And so it's the same basic truth, but there's different aspects. Now I think in this picture, These four soldiers represent the totality or universality of all mankind. And the one soldier who got the coat represents the believers, because the rest of the soldiers, the three soldiers, did not get the coat. They represent mankind that does not become saved. And the one soldier represents the believers who do become saved. Now, one thing that will help us understand the second picture is to get the biblical teaching or learn what the Bible's teaching about with casting the lot. Casting the lot in the Bible really has to do with the idea that God makes the choice. And one verse that teaches this is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. We read there, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." That is saying that people cast the lot, but it's actually God who makes the decision who receives the lot. We see this idea that the lot represents God making the decision in other parts of the Bible. For example, in Joshua's days, and you can read this in the book of Joshua, they cast lots to determine which tribe, which of the 12 tribes, would receive what part of land. And effectively what was happening is that God was deciding which tribe would get what part of the land of Israel, and they decided that, or God told them that through the casting of the lots. Or after Judas had hung himself, we read in Acts chapter 1 that the apostles drew lots to determine who should replace Judas. Again, God is making the choice, and he made the choice through lot, through the drawing or casting of the lot. There are a number of passages or verses in the Bible where God uses the idea of drawing the lot as indicating that God makes the choice. Now, if we apply this idea back into John 19 about the soldiers, what it's really saying is the soldiers drew the lot, and one of the soldiers got the lot and got the coat. And so that's effectively saying that God is the one that chose which soldier would get the lot. And this is a biblical idea, that what it's saying is that God is the one that makes the choice who will become saved. Those four soldiers, they drew lots, and the Bible indicates that when the lot is cast or drawn, God is the one making the choice who gets the lot. By guiding the soldiers to cast lots, God is effectively saying that God made the choice which of the soldiers would get the coat, which one would get the lot and therefore get the coat. And if we apply that to salvation, that is saying God made the choice who would become saved. There were four soldiers there. One got the coat through drawing of lots. That is a picture of the world, of mankind. And the three that did not get the coat represent those that never became saved. The one who did get their coat represents those that do become saved. And the casting of the lots indicates that God made the choice. Now, when we study the Bible and not study it too carefully, we get the idea that man becomes saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we study the Bible more carefully, we find that no one seeks after God, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verses 10 through 12. And this teaching is echoed in other parts of the Bible, so that no one comes to God, no one will come to God of his own free will. Rather, God has elected a people to become saved. That's talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 and other places. God chose them, and God carries it out. God saves them. And so God ultimately makes the choice of who will become saved. And the reason for that is that man will not come to God of his own. We have actually prepared a booklet that gets into this issue of salvation, and we offer it free of charge. It's called Salvation, God's Eternal Gift of Love, and it has many verses that examine this question of salvation. And we encourage you to contact us, write us, email us, or download it from the website to get a free copy of that booklet. And we give our contact information at the end of the study. That booklet goes over many verses that talk about salvation, and it shows how the Bible teaches that finally God made the choice of salvation. And one passage that emphasizes this is found in Romans chapter 9. And I'll just read that to you, and you can see that as we read this passage, it's emphasizing that God chooses who becomes saved. We read in Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 15, "For he saith to Moses," and this is God, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." That alone is teaching us that God chooses who becomes saved. Continuing on with verse 16, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory?" We can see that there are many phrases in this passage, Romans chapter 9, 15 to 23, that teach that God makes the choice who will become saved. There are also many other passages that teach that God chooses those who will become saved. And again, if we study the Bible carefully, we learn that man of himself will not come to God. The Bible even says that man cannot come to God. You read that 4 times in the book of John in chapter 6. And so God finally has to make the choice of who will become saved. And I believe this is the additional teaching of the account of the second action that the soldiers did. They took the coat and they did not tear it up. They did not divide into 4 pieces. Rather, they drew lots, and one of the soldiers got the whole coat. And I believe this is teaching that the garments of salvation are divided by lot. That is, God makes the choice of who will receive those garments of salvation. The one soldier that did receive it represents all the believers throughout time. The 3 who did not get it represent the ones that remain unsaved. And so it's the same basic teaching with this additional teaching about God making the choice of who becomes saved. I hope this passage has been as much of a blessing for you as it has been for me, as we've looked at John chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, and seeing the rich gospel truth contained in there. Maybe in the coming week you'll want to read John chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, and reflect on some of these other verses we've looked at, and reflect on the gospel truth, the beautiful gospel truth that is in these verses. And again, it reminds us that the Bible could have only been written by God. Only God could craft the Bible this way, so that it is full of these wonderful gospel truths that we can understand when we start looking at other verses that use the same words and tie them together with God's help. God has to open our understanding to these things for us to understand them. And so it's not a function of what John was thinking or Isaiah was thinking or the scribe of the book of Hebrews was thinking. Rather, all of these passages came from God, and God has woven them together to give us beautiful gospel truth in these historical accounts. These are earthly accounts. These are true historical accounts, but they have beautiful gospel teaching in them. And that is because all scripture is given by God, given by inspiration by God, and all scripture is profitable for our education. Also, Christ spoke in parables, and without a parable he did not speak, and the whole Bible is the word of Christ. And so as we're reading these accounts that were penned by John, it's actually the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Or as we read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, it's really the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, with Isaiah just being the penman, just being the scribe in this case. Or, as we're reading chapter 4 in the book of Hebrews, again, that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, but the scribe of the book of Hebrews, he is simply a scribe. And so we see, as we tie these things that Jesus has said together in all parts of the Bible, we see this beautiful gospel truth. And again, we're pointed to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he had to become naked and exposed with our sins before the judgment throne of God, how he had to make payment for those sins, how he had to suffer the wrath of God that you and I should have suffered, so that we could be covered by the robe of his righteousness, so that we could be delivered from the wrath of God, so that we would have the garments of salvation and receive the eternal inheritance of the new heavens and the new earth. And this again is pointing us back to the love of God for sinners, that God would go through this horrible punishment, that God would do this wonderful thing to make payment for the sins of miserable mankind that we all are by nature before salvation in the sight of a holy God. And as that is recorded in the Bible, and the Bible testifies to that fact, that the love of God is there, that he would do this for sinners such as we are by nature. And it should cause us to give thanks to God, to give praise to God, and service to God, that we might reach others, that we might share this wonderful gospel with others, that they too might receive the blessings of salvation. As I've reflected on this past week, I've been reminded that we are in this world that we might be witnesses to our fellow man in one way or another. We can give him or her a Bible, or we could give out a tract, or we could share the Lord Jesus, or point them to a gospel broadcast, or in some other way encourage our fellow man in the Word of God. Because God has said that we are his ambassadors in this world. We are here to represent the kingdom of God, that others might be saved. God worked through previous believers. God has worked through other people that we might hear the gospel and become saved. And in turn, we are to carry that gospel out that others might be saved. And that is the only thing that we can do that has a real lasting impact or real lasting benefit. That is to bring the gospel that our fellow man might become saved as we have been saved. Well, next week we will continue studying in Mark chapter 15, and with God's help, we will learn additional truth. Until that time, may the Lord richly bless you.
We hope that today's Bible study on Follow the Bible Ministries with David Hoff has been a blessing. If you'd like to hear this or another Bible study, visit them at followthebibleministries.com. They'd love to hear from you via email at followthebibleministries@yahoo.com or send a note to P.O. Box 1332, Alameda, California, 94501. Follow the Bible Ministries is a listener-supported ministry.